back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
So this morning, I was thinking about guests for today's show that I absolutely have to have. And I was thinking, you know, I need to text Bill Rabinowitz of the Columbus Dispatch, because he is the guy who knows what's going on at Ohio State. It's the best conversation that we could have, media to media, about this football game. And I was just about to text him, and a text popped up on my phone from Bill Rabinowitz. You ever have that happen? Like, you're thinking about somebody? It's not like we text each other all the time. I was 10 seconds away from sending him a text, and he texted me. And Bill Rabinowitz is joining us now. What prompted that thought? Because I think it was telepathy. I think I sent you a message.
Well, I thought, who could I have on to discuss Oregon on my podcast but John? And I just have faster fingers.
You have faster fingers, indeed.
Playing guitar or something like that.
Hey, how's Ohio State feeling about this game? How are the fans? Let's start with the fans. How are the fans feeling about this game at Autzen Stadium?
You know, I always hesitate to speak for the fans because I really try to avoid, like, message boards and talk radio. I just do. I just have, you know, I have enough to do with my job. So I wouldn't say I have the pulse of the fans, but I think I would say this. It's a game everyone's really looking forward to. Ohio State played three nobodies in the preseason, and that preseason felt like a preseason, and the non-conference part of the schedule. Then Michigan State, which is not a contender in the Big Ten, and Iowa, which has half of a team, a very good defense and not much of an offense. Although Caleb Johnson is pretty good. But, you know, this was the game. October 12th was the one. Okay, this is when Ohio State will find out just how good they are. Of course, everyone knows Ohio State was supposed to play at Autzen 4 years ago, and the pandemic ended that. You know, forced the cancellation of that game. Oregon came to Columbus the next year and whipped Ohio State. I mean, that was impressive by the Ducks. And so I think there's been a little bit of that, like, okay, when are we going to get a crack at them? And then when Oregon joined the Big Ten, obviously, you know, we're gonna get that game finally.
Bill, the questions, I think, for Oregon right now, Dylan Gabriel's thrown three red zone interceptions, you know, in the last two games. He looks like he's pressing a little bit. He doesn't totally look comfortable. That's a big question for Oregon. And, you know, what are the questions for Ohio State right now?
Well, honestly, I don't think there are a lot of them. I think the biggest one, Ohio State entered the season with really two big question marks. One was quarterback, and Will Howard took control of that job pretty early in training camp. It was pretty clear that he was going to be the guy. And he's been everything Ohio State wanted him to be. Is he a talent on the level of C.J. Stroud? No, but, you know, few are. He's been better than Kyle McCord, I would say, overall, and in part because he has a running dimension that Kyle McCord really didn't have last year, especially after McCord sprained his ankle in the Notre Dame game. So he can run. He's a willing runner. His passing has been good, especially on the shorter passes, medium-range passes, very good. Deep passes, a little more hit and miss. But Ohio State has phenomenal receivers. Emeka Egbuka is a terrific receiver. Jeremiah Smith is already, as a freshman, you know, quickly becoming one of those guys that you just kind of say, oh, man. I mean, he's a highlight reel. Carnell Tate, who missed the Iowa game, they held him out. They expect him back. They have, this is one of the subclasses of the game. Who has the better receivers? Now, you know, Oregon, according to certain statistical categories, has the best receiving group in the country. I think Ohio State fans would probably say they would not trade the Buckeyes group for anybody. So that's going to be an interesting matchup. And the other big question mark, though, was the offensive line. And that was a big issue last year. It got exposed in big games. In the Missouri game and the Cotton Bowl, it was a disaster. But they showed against Iowa, which is a very good defensive front. Front 10 is very good for Iowa. That they opened holes consistently for Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson. And those two are really good running backs anyway. So that, to me, was the last question that I needed to have answered about Ohio State. Could that line play against a really good team at open holes consistently? And it did.
Bill, Chip Kelly, offensive coordinator, how has his move into the Buckeyes world maybe changed or put fingerprints on what they're doing offensively?
Yeah, I think he's probably holding some things back. I would expect him to unveil some things against Oregon. But there are like two or three plays a game that I'll, from the press box, go, oh, that's a Chip Kelly play. You know, maybe it's a misdirection or just a formation or a look that we haven't seen. And obviously Ryan Day is Chip Kelly's protege, and there's a lot of similarities in how they like to run their offenses. So it's not like a completely dramatically different offense. But you see little touches here and there. I think the run game effectiveness is a credit to Chip Kelly in part. Some of it's just those offensive linemen having another year of experience. That's a big part of it. But I think that there's a confidence in Chip Kelly's play calling that kind of bleeds through the team.
I am thinking about his imprint and, you know, the fact that he's just getting to coach. It feels like that would be a big advantage with Tosh Lapoy and Oregon's coordinators being younger, less experienced. Is that being talked about at all?
Yeah, Chip Kelly came to Columbus to be the offensive coordinator because he wanted to just be a football coach. He didn't want to deal with all the stuff he had to deal with as a head coach anymore, and Chip Kelly is probably not built for that, right? I mean, it's just not who he is. But the guy who's kind of drawing plays on a napkin, that's what he loves to do. And he has a guy who encourages that in Ryan Day, and he has all kinds of talent to work with. So I think he's having a ball, honestly. I think he's, when he's talked to us, and I know, like, when he was the coach of the Eagles and the 49ers, that some of those, he just seemed uncomfortable in some of those media settings. He's really comfortable here. I mean, he'll crack jokes and just be very, very kind of, he seems happy. I mean, it's a simple word, but he really just seems happy. And, you know, he's 60 years old. He doesn't need the money. The pay cut to go from a head coach to a coordinator is no big deal to him. He just wants to enjoy his job, and I think he really is. And I think that Ohio State's really happy to have him. Obviously, that was a weird deal because Bill O'Brien had been hired as the offensive coordinator and then took the Boston College job. And so, you know, it kind of left Ryan Day in a lurch, but Chip Kelly was, that's a hell of a bailout.
Oregon has been talking about this game. Everybody's been thinking about this game since the schedule came out. I can't decide if that's good or bad. You know what I mean? Like, you know, is it good or bad that this has been the focal point? I do know that how this game gets played is going to matter. Like, I don't think the loser's out of the playoff race by any stretch with 12 teams in the playoff. But I think if it's a really good, compelling, close game, we may be looking at a rematch. How do you see winning this game or losing this game kind of affecting Ohio State's psyche right now?
Well, it's funny. In fact, Joey Kaufman, my beat department, and I do a roundtable, and one of the questions that we decided to go to tackle was about what this game means. And what I said is that the winner of this game, I mean, if it's Ohio State, I'm speaking from the Ohio State perspective, it's almost a guarantee to get in the playoffs. Because I think a two-loss Ohio State team is in. I think a two-loss Oregon team is in. You know, Ohio State only really plays three tough opponents. They play at Oregon, at Penn State, and then Michigan. You know, Indiana's obviously had a great start, but I don't think they're a real threat to beat Ohio State. The other one is Nebraska. You know, I mean, I'm impressed with Nebraska's better, but I don't think they're ready for Ohio State. And so even if Ohio State were to lose to Penn State and Michigan, and I don't think they will, but they could. I mean, they certainly could. And if they beat Oregon, I think a 10-2 Ohio State team is in. And so in past years, a game like this would leave you with no margin for error. If you lost this game, because no two-loss team ever made the 14 playoff. So if you lost this game, you had no margin for error the rest of the year. That's not the case anymore. So a loss, you know, obviously is not good. But as you said, they could very well meet again in Indianapolis in December. Because I look at the Big Ten, and I think it's really a three-team race right now, you know, Penn State being the third. It's early October still, so things could change. But I think those three teams have really set themselves apart.
I am looking around. We saw a bunch of upsets last Saturday, and you know, it was all those teams in the top 10 that got caught. What do you think's going on there, Bill? Is it bad rankings? Have the teams mentally, you know, does a team like Alabama know they have a mulligan? I mean, I can't decide, you know, is there more parity? Do you have a theory?
Not really. I Ohio State was playing at the same time as Alabama, so I was kind of looking at the score. I saw Vanderbilt was up 13-0, and then, you know, I've got a game to cover. I can't be looking at that game, and I see that they're still ahead. I'm thinking, there's no way Vanderbilt's going to hold on and beat Alabama. It's just not going to happen. And we're doing the interviews in the post game, and I see somebody says, Vanderbilt beat Alabama. I'm like, oh, and you're kidding. I don't know what happened in that game because I didn't see it, but I mean, maybe the fact that it's not March Madness, as Ryan Day used to say, where every game was an elimination game. Maybe a team like Alabama realized, you know, with Vanderbilt, well, we can coast through this one. I don't know. Maybe Vanderbilt's a lot better. I mean, they did give Missouri a game. So I don't know. I like the 12-team playoff. I think that's it's better for college football to have more teams to have a chance, because it was a monopoly. Let's face it. It was Georgia and Alabama and Ohio State most years, and then you'd have, you know, Clemson obviously and some other elite programs, but you very rarely had, you know, the TCU year. You know, Michigan State made it once, but for the most part, it was like a closed club. And now it's 12 teams, and you know, if you take care of business on the field, you're going to get in it.
Bill Rabinowitz, Columbus Dispatch, with us. You've seen a number of big games for Ohio State in your time covering and being on the beat. How does this Oregon game stack up to, you know, maybe some of the big regular season games of the last few years? Or has it just been Michigan, Ohio State mainly? Or does it even come close to a Michigan, Ohio State game with the stakes?
I'll be kind and say, well, I'll be honest and I'll say no. Because Ohio State and Michigan is its own entity. Even if the teams aren't even very good, and they usually are very good, the game means a lot. So, I mean, we've had this discussion. Would an Ohio State fan feel completely happy with a national championship if Ohio State still lost to Michigan that year? If Ohio State lost to Michigan, won the Big Ten, won the national championship, would there be a certain amount of, like, I don't think hollow is the right word, but, you know, a tiny bit of an asterisk to it? I think there would be some Ohio State fans, probably not the majority, but some who would say, yeah, you can't call this an unqualified success because you still lost to Michigan. So I don't, you know, it's, I know Oregon State is big. I know Oregon, Washington is big. Unless you are here in Ohio or in Michigan, I just don't think it's possible to really understand how much that game means. You know, it's the last game of the regular season every year. The hatred is real. You know, the Connor Stallion stuff and the Jim Harbaugh stuff that just added to it, right? I mean, this game this year, no matter what Michigan ends up doing in terms of turning their season around, is going to be incredibly intense. So I think Ohio State fans view this one as more of a fun game. I mean, they certainly want to win, and it's important, and they have a lot of respect for Oregon, but it's not life or death like Michigan is.
Bill, the Oregon offense has, you know, looked okay. It had a couple of moments in the early part of the season against Idaho and Boise State where you kind of wondered about the offensive line. They've seemed to have figured that out. How is Ohio State's front seven? And you know, you got to see them a little bit against Iowa and some others, but how does that group match up against an Oregon offensive line that may have some question marks in its past?
Yeah, I watched the Oregon-Michigan State game, and I was impressed with Oregon's running game. Jordan James, I thought, was very good. Ohio State's front four is really, really good. Jack Sawyer, JT Tuimoloau, Tyreek Williams are all possible first-round picks. Ty Hamilton's an underrated guy. He'll be drafted. They have backups who could start for almost anyone in the Big Ten. Caden Curry, for example, is a terrific player. The linebackers are... I would say maybe a notch below that. I mean, Cody Simon is the middle linebacker. He's a fifth-year guy, very, very solid, but probably not, you know, a superstar. Sonny Styles is a phenomenal player. He's making the adjustment from safety to linebacker, and he wasn't great against Michigan State, but he was really, really good against Iowa. Made some really good plays. The secondary is very good. Denzel Burke is a possible first-round pick. Davis Igbinosin, an Ole Miss transfer, came last year, is a really aggressive corner. Sometimes he'll get some interference and holding calls because he's so handsy. but he's a really competitive guy. And the best player, I think, on the whole team, honestly, is Caleb Downs, the safety you transferred from Alabama. He is, boy, he's good. I mean, you just notice him out there. Jim Knowles used the term, they activated him against Michigan State. It's like a video game guy. Okay, we'll activate him. He's incredibly instinctive, very fast. He's a real difference maker. So you look at that defense and you go, there are no real weaknesses on that defense. And, you know, of course they give up plays. Everyone gives up plays. But it's, you know, Ohio State's given up, I think it's like 27 points all year, something like that. And the Iowa's shut out until the backups came in and Caleb Johnson had a 28-yard touchdown run. But they did nothing against the starters. So it's going to be a challenge. I mean, it's going to be a challenge. Oregon has not seen anything like Ohio State's defense, and Ohio State's defense has seen nothing like Oregon's offense. So that's what's fun about it.
I spend all week kind of mulling what I'm going to do with my pick, and I make it on Thursday. Do you have a sense right now of, do you make a pick for the game?
We have to, and I hate doing it. I mean, I really do, because I don't have any more knowledge of it than anyone else. But I think if this were a neutral field, I'd feel pretty confident in Ohio State winning. I think having to make the long trip is an issue. I mean, what's the road games, road teams making that coast-to-coast trip are 1-8, I think, in the Big Ten. And so I think that's a concern if you're an Ohio State fan. I think Ohio State's got slightly better talent across the board. So I don't know. I think it's close to a toss-up game. I wouldn't be shocked if Ohio State won comfortably. I would be shocked if Oregon won big. I wouldn't be shocked if Oregon won in a close game.
Bill, I am going to go on your podcast, and I will see you at the stadium. It'll be fun. Have you ever been to Otz? You probably haven't, because you've covered...
I have not.
Yeah. Is that exciting for you?
Or do you
dread it?
I don't like the trip, but I don't like flying that far. But yeah. I like it for a couple reasons. One, I've never been to Oregon, and I hear it's a wonderful state, a beautiful state. And I was looking forward to coming 4 years ago, and obviously that was canceled. So I'm looking forward to seeing Oregon, and I hear Austin's a great place to see a game. And just selfishly, my daughter lives in Oakland, and so after the game, I'm going to fly to see her for a few days. And so, you know, that's why I'm looking forward to the trip overall. But, I am looking forward to this. I mean, I'm not crazy about traveling. You know, everyone dreads traveling these days, but. You know, I'm interested to see Portland for a little bit and then drive down to Eugene, and I'm going to meet a friend and have dinner, I hope. And so it'll be fun. And the game should be great, right? It should be. I mean, I'm hoping it's a great game.
Yeah, I think it'll be a fun game. Bill, I appreciate you making time. I will be sure to say hi to you in the press box, and I'll talk to you on your podcast coming up later this week.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me on, John.
All right. There he goes from the Columbus Dispatch. He's the guy. Bill Rabinowitz. And look, I went out and covered the Big Ten 1998, 1999. I've been to Columbus. I've been to Madison. I've been to Ann Arbor, Michigan. I've seen those places. I think it's really interesting to hear those media members talk about coming west, like Oakland, California, being so close in proximity to Portland. While I'm out, I might as well go see my daughter. I love that he's going down to see his kid. But we often, right, we think about those things in different ways, don't we? I want you to tell me who you like in this game. What are the questions in your mind? 503-417-7575. Dan Lanning will be on Thursday's show in the 4 o'clock hour. Leave it here.